We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the Sixth Man Show, an Orlando Magic podcast, with your hosts, Luke Sylvia and Jonathan Osborne, covering all things Magic basketball, by fans, for fans. Go Magic!
What's going on, Orlando Magic fans? You guys are back with the Sixth Man Show. Today is February 19, 2024. Jonathan Osborne here, as always, joined by my co-host, Luke Sylvia. Luke, we just wrapped up All-Star Weekend, finished the All-Star Game. We'll talk about all that. I just took cold medicine like 15 minutes ago, so we probably have like 5 minutes before I start to get a little bit out of hand here.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I mean, I'm better than that for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
You're gonna just start talking crazy, and then eventually you're just gonna head to the desk. You're just gonna hit the deck. So that's when how this episode is probably gonna end. But I'm good. I learned about where I hold All-Star Weekend. I have a guy in it, I learned where I hold that in priority and what I value. And we can talk about that later. But I have a stance on it for sure.
And your stance is All-Star Weekend sucks. Let's just do that. I'm going to preface this really fast. If you enjoyed All-Star Weekend, you thought it was awesome, or if you want to hear like high-level intelligent basketball conversations, shut this off now. That is not going to be what this is. It's the All-Star break. We don't have any Magic basketball to talk about. The All-Star weekend in its current state blows. So if you don't want to hear like old men like get off of my lawn kind of stuff, shut it off.
Yeah.
Luke, go ahead.
Thank you. What I learned is that I don't care about Paolo Banchero and All-Star weekend. Like,
not the events themselves.
Yeah, right. So the stuff that I'll tell you, the things that I have enjoyed most about Paolo Banchero being named an All-Star was his initial being named an All-Star, right? Okay, our guy got the respect that he deserves. I'm glad that we are getting to that point. Orlando is finally getting put back onto the map. Shout out Shaquille O'Neal. And we can...
and, too soon.
Yeah, and so at this point, yeah, that's what it's about. But then it's also about with Paolo, just the photo ops are awesome. They put out the pictures today of him like wearing the All-Star jersey and everything. That was awesome. That was what I cared about. And it all goes back to respect and people respecting Paolo and the Magic both at the same time. And you can't respect Paolo without also respecting the Magic. So that's what I care about. The on-the-court stuff, event stuff, I don't care about. The other thing I learned is that when your team is good, the All-Star break is kind of agonizing because it's like, I just want to see the team play. I was sitting there watching the All-Star game tonight with Lauren, sitting on the couch, and I was like, it was the first quarter. I was like, all I can think about is I wish this was a Magic game on my TV right now. That's the only thing I'm thinking about right now. I just want to see the Magic play. I don't care about any of this. Then it was cool to see Paolo check in for the first time tonight and whatever. But from there on out, it was all kind of just meh. So I don't know. Is that pretty in line with your thinking, or what did you maybe value the Paolo aspect more in game?
That's pretty in line, but I forgot that we've got a couple of things to touch on at the top of the show here. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go through that, and mm-hmm. I'll make this really quick and then jump back in. Coming up Wednesday, the 21st, Friday, the 23rd, is the 5-year anniversary of the podcast. Can't believe it's already been 5 years. But Wednesday, we're going to do a live show starting at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern time on YouTube, really just to reflect on the last 5 years of the show, talk about some of our favorite moments, maybe get a little sappy, have some fun. We've got a special guest planned for that as well. So be sure to check that out, and please come and hang out with us Wednesday night, 9 o'clock on YouTube. And the next episode of the Six Fan Show is going to be filmed next Tuesday when the Magic face the Nets at home. So Tuesday, February 27th, Magic versus Nets outside Kia after the game, Six Fan Show. Ben is going to be filming that. My take on the weekend is the meme, what happened to the game that I love? Like, I remember as a kid being so excited, getting off of school on Friday of All-Star Weekend, and like not rushing home, obviously, because everything mm-hmm. sort of started later at night. But I remember like genuinely being excited for like Friday night of the NBA like celebrity game. I remember like Chris Brown and like J. Cole being in it. I remember like Justin Timberlake being in it, you know, Justin Bieber, all those guys. And then I always loved watching the rookie sophomore game, is what we used to call it. It wasn't the Rising Star Challenge. It was the rookie sophomore game back in the day. Always loved that. And then like NBA Saturday Night, where you had the Shooting Stars Challenge, where you had like a current NBA player, a WNBA player, and then like a NBA legend. They would all be on, you know, one team who would do different competitions. The individual NBA Skills Challenge, when it was Dwayne Wade and Chris Paul and Steve Nash and those guys. And then obviously like the dunk contest, where we're going back to like Dwight Howard and Nate Robinson going at it, obviously. And then it being headlined by the Sunday Night All-Star Game, where I don't know if it's because we're older now. Maybe it's one of those things where when you have kids, Christmas changes again. Like when you're in your early 20s and you're sort of out of that like kid Christmas stage that we all go through when you're in, you know, elementary school and middle school, especially, where Christmas is your Super Bowl as a child, right? You get so hyped up for it. And then as you get older, it's not as cool. But then when you have kids and you see your kids getting excited for it, it's kind of exciting again. I'm starting to think that All-Star Weekend is the same way, because the guys who are being featured in the All-Star game at this point are not our idols, are not our childhood heroes that we grew up watching our entire life, and being able to watch those guys play against each other on the floor. Like the only guy in this game at this point that was like a childhood hero of mine would be LeBron James. Everybody else, it's like we've seen LeBron's career, but I was, you know, 9-10 years old, LeBron's rookie year. But being able to like be conscious for an entire player's career like we have been to this point with guys like Dame, like Giannis, who are some of the older guys in the All-Star game this year, I don't know. I don't know if it's the event itself or All-Star game is for children. I don't know really how to break it down. Is it the product, or is this just the way that it goes? And I don't remember my dad being like hyped about the All-Star game when I was a kid. I think it's a good question. Has it really changed that much? Because it has in certain aspects, but in other ways, I don't think it has.
Right. I mean, definitely more. The All-Star game is definitely way less defense, which can change, obviously, the intensity of it. What was it? I saw like an All-Star game that Shaq was involved in, like a screenshot of like the score bug at the end of the game. And it was like 109-100 or something like that at the end of the All-Star game.
And that was essentially doubled this evening.
Correct. So it's like, I think it's somewhere in the middle. As much of a cop-out answer as that is, I think that it's definitely the balance between the two. Like, there's no way it's not. Because, and it is tough to know for sure. Because like you said, unless we go back and ask our parents, who, like, let's be honest, I don't know about your dad, but like my dad doesn't care about the NBA.
No.
as much as I ever have or ever will, right? Like, he just doesn't. And so it's hard to go back because I don't really know. So it's so tough to gauge. And I don't know, like, maybe, like, guys like who are podcast personalities talk about it still, like a Bill Simmons. I will be interested to see what he says. And I'm hoping that he compares it again to just, like, tying it back to what it used to be. Because it is an interesting perspective that without their perspective, we don't really know. We can't have the answer to your proposition, to your question. I really don't know. My gut reaction is, no, it's always been, like, it was awesome as a kid. But it's like, there's the caveat, as a kid, right? So I don't know. But listen, the Nate Robinson, Dwight Howard dunk contest, that was fun. And I just don't know if it was fun because it was like Nate Robinson, like obviously Dwight with the cape, Nate Robinson wearing the all green Knicks jersey, right? We all know what I'm talking about. We all know what that looked like. So I maybe there's quite a bit of nostalgia, I'm sure. And nostalgia always wins. That's how we got back to an East versus West All-Star game instead of like captains picking teams.
I think that was more of the almost embarrassment of Jokic being almost the last pick last year.
Right. But also, you look at, like, even I was looking at the ESPN app, right, throughout the weekend, and I always would see East versus West All-Star, and I felt nostalgic. And it's not even been gone that long. But it comes back, and then we're quickly reminded East versus West wasn't the answer that we all wished that it was. And nobody plays defense. Unless I love offense. I don't really care. But when guys are just like blowing by and uncontested, nobody's within miles. I'm like, all right, that's kind of ridiculous. But at the end of the day, I understand, and I've came to the conclusion that defense is just never going to get played again in an All-Star game. And I think that we are headed towards a similar thing that the NFL had to do. I hope it becomes more like contest related, and the NBA is going to do it better than what we see from the NFL product. A freaking snapping competition. They have their hands tied. There's only so much they can do, but I'm hoping that they'll bring back some of the maybe things that you talked about where it was like the groups of three and they have that comp, the shooting comp and whatever, basically the skills challenge, but maybe just a different wrinkle. And the Steph and Sabrina thing, we could talk about that because I genuinely had fun with that. It was way better than I thought it was going to be.
The skills challenge, which Paolo Banchero talked about, like wanted to take that like really seriously this year. I don't think that we saw Paolo's best effort in that, if I'm being 100% honest. But the skills challenge is a complete freaking sham now.
Mm-hmm.
Like the slalom run where like the chest pass is as big as like the Eye of Orlando. Like it's completely ridiculous that they're asked to even do that. And then like the passing thing where they're going back and forth like this, like the bounce pass. Yes, that's difficult. But the chest pass through this thing that has like a 12 foot diameter, whatever it is. I'm not a, geometrist by any stretch of the imagination.
We got that.
But man, I was really afraid I was going to mess that word up. Just saying, I don't even know if that is a word to be honest with you. Probably not. But yeah, Anthony Edwards taking the corner threes with the left hand. I was like, okay, we're absolutely not taking this seriously. Scottie Barnes shooting the half court shot, backwards was a little bit ridiculous. I think the answer with the dunk contest is you get voted into the dunk contest from now on. Like we take the best dunks from like the regular season and fans vote on who they want to see in the dunk contest. And then like, unless you want to be the worst person ever, you just do the dunk contest. Because the days of seeing guys, like Dwight Howard, one of the best players in the league at the time in the dunk contest, I think those days are long gone. And it's truly to the point now where people talk about the Aaron Gordon, Zach LaVine dunk contest, ruining the dunk contest. It honestly might be true because nothing is ever going to match that level again. Like the level of just sheer athleticism and creativity that we saw in that dunk contest, I find it almost impossible that anything will ever touch that, because it wasn't just the difficulty of the dunks, is that each of those guys was hitting them on their first try. It was just, it could not have ever been a more perfect NBA dunk contest. And I think it's just ruined it for everybody forever.
Do you think the answer is, because I think I'm okay with this at this point, replacing things like the dunk contest with a more drawn out version of what we saw with Steph versus Sabrina, where you do bring in people like Clay even next year? That feels like Steph, that's in their press conference, that's what he really felt like he alluded to, bringing in Clay, and then Sabrina can bring in whoever. We all would love to see Caitlin Clark in that type of competition. But shooting, it's different, because with dunks, there's so much pressure to be creative and execute. But with shooting, you can't tell me that every one of those guys didn't want to win that three-point competition last night that were in it. It's hard not to. Shooting is a pride thing. If I think I can win a competition, like if I'm competitive, which all these NBA guys are, if I'm competitive and I can shoot the basketball, I promise you, you're going to see a show put on in the three-point competition. And that's what we got last night. So it's almost like the creativity has really driven players away from doing it. And it also doesn't help that we've seen everything under the sun, unless you are a professional dunker, which nobody in the NBA is. The closest thing to a professional dunker as far as creativity that we've seen is Aaron Gordon using stuff and utilizing everything from the hoverboard and whatever, and Mac McClung, right? All like in the current day, that's what I would say, is that those are the closest things we have to professional dunkers, and it's not going to get any better. It's just not, because professional dunkers, that's what they do. They dunk. NBA players, they don't, like, yes, sure, they can dunk, but they're not doing the creative. They're not sitting in the lab creating dunks that they can do. We've just seen it all. And it's crazy to say that we are now in the era of, like, we've seen everything. What else can they do besides making props crazier and whatever else? The LED court being incorporated in the dunk contest was cool. But it didn't, like, make me think, man, this is really bringing the dunk contest up a level. Because at the end of the day, I just want to see cool dunks. But I've seen them all. It's a really tough spot to be in, to be honest.
I think also, like, the evolution of social media doesn't help, because even outside of, like, the best guys in the NBA, like, the actual, like, professional dunkers around the world, to your point, like, outside of the NBA dunk contest, when you look just around the world at other, like, legitimate professional dunk contests, we really have seen it all. So even, you know, what, like, you go back and watch, like, the Michael Jordan, Dominique Wilkins, you know, slam dunk contest, mid, sorry, mm-hmm. Iconic, but mid. I hate to be the guy to say that, but mid. Even when we talk about, like, the Vince Carter, outside of, like, that Dominique MJ dunk contest, like, the Vince Carter one is probably, like, the most iconic. Mm-hmm. The Aaron Gordon performance just blows it away, to be quite frank. Even the Zach LaVine, you know, what was it, like, 2015 was, I think that was the Oladipo year when Zach LaVine won it the first time. Then the next year, 2016, Aaron Gordon, Zach LaVine was talking about going back to back and all that kind of stuff. So to me, like, again, the AG one is just so by far and away the best. To your point, talking about, like, the Steph, and if it's Steph and Clay and Sabrina and Caitlin next year, like, that's awesome for now. But what happens when Steph Curry isn't around anymore? Like, nobody's going to reach that level of shooter and what we expect. Like, the three-point contest is always going to be fun. Like, they always have the best shooters in the league, you know, do that. It feels like maybe there's a way to even get that to another level. Maybe it's taking that from 8 to 12, and there's, you know, even another round to that, or maybe more guys go into the next round, because as much as, like, that is sort of the focus now at times of the NBA All-Star Saturday night, feels like it just goes by so quickly. Like, you have two rounds and it's over. Like, to me, I want to see a bit more of that and find a way to make that, you know, even a little bit more exciting, I guess, a little bit, you know, more competitive, because it just, there's not a ton of drama in that event, I guess, is the way that I would say it. But I love the Sabrina and Steph event, and looking forward to see how they can do something like that next year. Just get rid of the belt. Like, that was, I felt like that was a little bit silly. But yeah, for overall, I thought that event was pretty fun.
It was gimmicky, obviously. Whatever, it is what it is.
At least, look, if you're going to do a belt, get a real belt. Like, that looked like it was made out of styrofoam. Like, if you're going to go that route, like, make it, like, bring out the WWE spinner belt if you're going to do something like that.
I think the belt will ratchet it up. The stakes will ratchet up a little bit next year now that they realize people love it. Really, it just didn't do in part that, like, Steph and Sabrina put on a show. If they didn't, we wouldn't be doing this next year. If it was lopsided or whatever, unless it was Sabrina by a landslide, it's not happening again. But I think that even if, I don't even know if it's adding rounds to the three-point competition, just give me different shooting games. Just give me a variation. Like, there's so much creativity to be had and putting points in certain spots. And we saw it a little bit with the skills challenge, right? But I'd still love to see it like a 2v2 situation. I just like that, or 1v1, whatever it is, man. But I don't think like the group stuff is the way when it comes to shooting challenges. Skills challenge, that, like, it wasn't awesome, right? Like, but the concept is there. Shooting is there. I think you just need to lessen the amount that are shooting at one time. It has to be 2 or 1. There's just a lot of different avenues you can explore when it comes to shooting. I think you just go all out on that. Because, again, there's no creativity involved. There's just rules. It's just like, hey, you make this shot, you get this amount of points, or whatever it is. I really do think that's the answer. And you just do away with the dunk contest. Maybe you do away with it for like 10 years, 15 years. And then when people get nostalgic for it, you can bring it back. And if it flops, it flops. But for now, I really do think shooting with Steph Curry, obviously changing the game of how we think about shooting. There's a whole lot you can do. And this is very much a shooting generation at this point. Not so much focus on dunks.
I think there's also a big element of, like, the best guys in the league now are just too cool for the All-Star, like, weekend and the events. And, like, even the All-Star game to a certain extent. I'm watching guys just, like, sort of go through the motions tonight. It's like, what happened to the game I love? Like, that's what I keep coming back to.
And you saw it a lot with, like, Luka and Jokic. And I think there's a lot to that, because we think about the J.J. Redick, Old Man in the Three podcast with, like, Franz Wagner and Luka. Both of them really talked about the fact that they are so team-oriented internationally that I think that it feels weird to them, and they don't really want to take it seriously because it doesn't mean much. And over there, maybe they're just so, like, focused on working as a unit to win and whatever. And All-Star Weekend just feels silly to them. And I think that could be the case with guys like Jokic and Luka. And as we get more international talent, I don't know if you've seen the mock drafts already for next year, but like four of the first five that are mocked, as last I saw it like a month or two ago, all international. It's going to continue to be that way. And I just wonder if like that's going to introduce even more the brand of players that just like don't really care, and they think it's silly that there's an All-Star game. Who knows? But I think that we might be headed that direction.
Listen, you don't like the All-Star game, and you don't like the, if you're an NBA player, you don't like the idea of the All-Star game, screw off. All right, that's all I got to say. Like, it's an iconic thing to be a part of that. Like, when you're playing, like, take it, like, all these guys idolized Kobe. You know who took the All-Star game seriously? Kobe freaking Bryant. Every single time he was out there amongst the best players in the world, he wanted to prove that he was the best in the league. So, like, just how hard is it to play defense in the game? Like, I don't think it's that. I don't think we're asking a lot. If everything else sucks, that's fine, whatever. If we get to the point where, like, look, we're just going to have an All-Star game, maybe we'll have a skills challenge and then we'll have the All-Star game, just play defense in the All-Star game. Like, sure, there's, you know, times, you know, maybe the first few minutes or so, even the first quarter, you want to get silly, you want to throw some lobs, you want to do all that stuff, that's great. But let's play some freaking defense. Luke, what did you think overall about Paolo's performance? So I want to go back to the Rising Stars game. Paolo Banchero was on Team Tamika, with Keegan Murray, Jalen Duren, Jaden Ivey, Scoot Henderson, Keontae George, Vince Williams Jr., and Dyson Daniels. Paolo Banchero in 11 minutes, 5 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 of 7 from the floor. To me, Paolo recognized, like, I've got to do something each night of this weekend. And Paolo just very much coasted through that Rising Stars game.
It could be said that he coasted through the entire weekend.
That might be fair.
I didn't really, like, it just came and went on Friday. It very much was like, literally, they got, how did they lose that game, by the way? They were off to such a great start, end up losing. And then the G League team beats the team they went against as well, which was hilarious. It just shows you, like, these people, they don't really care that much. They're there for the festivities, the connections, whatever it is, right? So, I don't know. My feelings on Friday night in Paolo is kind of just sums up the entire weekend. In Rising Stars, or the whatever, the skills competition, I mean, he had the best passing points in that passing game. Cool. But other than that, it's kind of like, I don't really care. It also has something to do with the fact that, like, Paolo just wasn't hitting anything this weekend. That was a little frustrating just as a Magic fan, where it's like, man, we got this all-star and he just wasn't hitting shots, and whatever. Like, at the end of the day, I don't put any stock into how he performed an all-star weekend, but it did make it a less enjoyable viewing experience. I think even he himself would say that. I can understand why fans feel that way, whatever. Super appreciative that he was an all-star and all the respect that comes with it, but I don't know. I just didn't really care for a lot of it, and the performance probably tied into it.
Yeah, and then in the skills challenge, he watched the team ahead of them, like the all-star team, go through. I think it was Tyrese Maxey that went, like, to the wrong direction around, like, the pylon or whatever. Watch that happen. That Paolo goes and does the exact same thing, which definitely hurt their time a bit. But I still hold firm to the fact that if Anthony Edwards doesn't try to shoot those threes left-handed and brick three straight off the side of the backboard, he takes that first one seriously, makes that, maybe they don't get eliminated, you know, from
Scotty Barnes doesn't, did you see him in that one, by the way?
That dude fell over, I think, multiple times at different points throughout the Stars or the skill challenge.
That was my favorite part of the skills challenge.
Him falling over?
Him dribbling the ball off his leg out of bounds, him slipping during the passing one.
Each part of the skills challenge, Scotty Barnes had some kind of shacked in a fool.
It was hilarious. Moment. It was hilarious. He's not. It was so funny. That was my favorite part of the weekend.
When I saw that man grab the ball, turn around, and throw it behind his head, I was like, "This dude absolutely does not give a single crap about this event." So bad.
Yeah. Well, they were throwing bricks. That team was hopeless on the half court challenge for sure.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
All right, this next segment is brought to you by our fans over at Jam Hot, or friends, not, I guess they are fans of the show, but they're also
fans.
Friends
of them.
Exactly.
They're fans of us.
A lot of fans going around. Mm-hmm. Our friends over at Jam Hot Chicken. It is this week's Jam Hot Chicken Jam of the Week, and being as how this was Paolo Banchero's first appearance in an NBA All-Star game, the first of many, it is only right if our Jam Hot Chicken Jam of the Week comes from Paolo Banchero's first All-Star game. So with 11-19 in the game, the Eastern Conference leading the Western Conference 53-47, Paolo Banchero grabs the rebound, dribbles the length of the floor, dribbles around Anthony Edwards, and elevates for the two-handed jam and his first ever basket in an NBA All-Star game. And that is this week's Jam Hot Chicken Jam of the Week, Luke.
And we'll just go right into this and just explaining further. If you are not familiar with Jam Hot Chicken and what exactly it is that they're all about, they are a Nashville and LA inspired hot chicken shack, locally owned and operated in beautiful Winter Park, Florida, at 400 West New England Avenue, Suite 13 in Hannibal Square, Winter Park. We've seen a lot of you guys posting about it on social media saying that we weren't lying about this chicken sandwich. We weren't. We know we weren't. We're so glad that you guys are taking note, going to do this. People coming from visiting from you know, internationally or out of state are making sure that they hit up Jam Hot Chicken when they come into town to see the Magic play. It's super exciting to see, to be honest with you. And you guys can follow at Jam Hot Chicken on all social media. You can see their stuff. They've got a great aesthetic there on their social media pages. They do a great job with that. Also, you can go to jamhotchickenfl.com, access their menu, online ordering, music playlists, all things Jam Hot. Go there, check them out, and tell them we sent you.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Real quick last thing on the All-Star game. Paolo Banchero, in almost 19 minutes, 6 points, was 3 of 9 from the floor, 0 of 4 from behind the arc. 9 rebounds, 5 assists. So 6, 9, and 5 for Paolo Banchero. Almost messed around and maybe flirted with a triple double, at least for a few minutes there. But Paolo, just not super surprisingly, but like wasn't super assertive. It's his very first All Star game. You know, rookies, or not rookies, but guys that are playing in the All Star game for the first time usually aren't going that crazy because there's other guys with tons of seniority. But Paolo, even in the All-Star game, just like fantastic teammate, like plenty of times where he could have just went up and got his own shot. But like Paolo Banchero always does, makes the right play. And yeah, that 5 assists, let's see, that ranked him. Let's see, how many other guys had more assists? So, oh, Tyrese, Dame. Oh, those were the only other guys on the team that had more assists than Paolo Banchero. His 9 rebounds, Luke, led all-stars in the game. Paolo led the game with 9 rebounds. Our all-star, Paolo Banchero, baby.
Yeah, I mean, if he's not shooting well, he's going to get other people involved. Maybe too passive for some people's liking. I've seen a lot of that type of commentary. Whatever, man. he's just trying to stay in his lane. Maybe not create too much spotlight for himself in his first all-star weekend. You have to appreciate that to an extent, too. But as Magic fans, we really wanted to see him be assertive and take over and have great moments like Tyrese Halliburton did, because he had the moments early on in that game that were just a ton of fun, and you just didn't want to see him miss. He just kept going, and that's the fun of All-Star Weekend. I don't want to see you just run and dunk the entire time, wide open, uncontested. If you're going to shoot uncontested, I would love to see you shooting 35-footers. Right, 40-footers. Dame pulling up from half. That's what we're here for offensively. That's the type of stuff we need to see. But yeah, our guy Paolo distributing, rebounding, doing the things we know him to do.
What did you think of like the moment before the game where like Paolo comes into the locker room and is like, you know, taking photos of his jersey hanging in the locker? To me, that was one of my favorite parts of the night and definitely one of my favorite parts of the weekend.
That was super cool. And I also loved when he was getting introduced. You could just tell like he was taking it all in and was really taken aback by the moment, it felt like. Paolo's not super emotional and he's talked about that, but yeah, he was awesome. And so for that moment that he had was awesome as well. It's just been, we also got to see the, had we seen it before? It just got a lot of recognition, the Paolo Banchero logo.
No, that's, I literally just linked that to you. I was going to ask you about that next. Like, what were your thoughts on that? Because I think it's sick. Last year, we saw like the P5 logo that they, you know, released at like during like the Rising Stars game from last year. Mm-hmm. But this new one where like it's like a P and then like the curl of the P like turns into the 5, but it also looks like a B in certain aspects. Like, I know it's not going to be that long before Paolo Banchero gets his own signature shoe with Jordan. And the fact that like the logo has been sort of reworked, and I really like it. It's really sick. Like, I would absolutely buy that hoodie right now if it was available. I love it.
Yeah, I have no issue with it at all. I'm hoping all of that, yeah, becomes available here soon, and we can cop some P5 merch.
All right, that's enough complaining, I guess, for All Star Weekend. It just I hope they find a way to, you know, make it awesome again, because this weekend it was just very, very meh. I think that's probably the best way that I can describe that. But want to go ahead, give a special shout out to all of our wonderful patrons. They are the folks that help make each and every episode that we do through the season and throughout the All-Star break and into the off season and everything like that. If you would like to, you know, sort of join the mission and help us on our journey here of creating and growing the Orlando Magic fan base and just creating new diehard Magic fans, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/the6manshow with different levels of benefits, like joining our Discord channel. Our Discord channel at this point has, I think, close to 60 different patrons in it, literally talking about basketball and Orlando Magic basketball, especially like 24/7, unless like Lucas, you know, spurring some kind of like Pixar movie debate like he did a couple of weeks ago. But if you're interested in joining our Patreon, you can find us at patreon.com/the6manshow. And we give a special shout out to our Hall of Fame and elite tier patrons each and every episode. So I will go ahead, as always, starting with the Court Cousins, Drew Gooden, Armin, Carson Tulo, Ellis, Jonathan Borges, Normal Magic Player History, Gay Gaines, Wiffle, Michael Martin, Jamel Miller, Michael Salapong, Donkey Punch, Dave Powell, Franz's Warmth, Pierre A, Dylan Holden, Mr. Mikey, Eduardo Sanchez, Daniel Dodo 15, Bobby Skinner, Goody 93, Teddy Sylvia, Eric Lopez, Fuchsia, Bill Fulton, Edmund Lagone, Jose Esquilin, Caleb Pete, Cannibalism, Time, Mr. TV, ESPN Really Sucks, Gear 95, Shred, Junior Bruce, Half Reek, and Shahan 177, Bulby the Dawn, Himlo Ban Himro, RM Prof 221, Magic Kid 714, Mysterious Mosley, Victor Cologne, Irish Magic Mike, Austin Lampy, Random Hustle, Only Franz Maria, Keith Walsh, Fritz Currency Kev, Bruv Sal, Kaysen Green, Santi Leon, Kane Eckler, The Distract, Ahmad Timsa, Chantu, Tom Gadsden, Dead Air, Richard Tuttle, Jeremiah Quintero, Debo 1980, and Magic Matt. Again, you can find us at patreon.com/the6manshow. Luke, I wanted to just remind everyone, now that we're past the All-Star break, we've got a few more days off. The Magic are back at it on Thursday in Cleveland, taking on the Cavaliers. But just sort of regroup, talk about where the Magic are with 27 games to go. With 27 games to go, the Magic sit eighth in the Eastern Conference with a record of 30-25. They're 13 games back of first place Boston, 7 games back of Cleveland, 5 games back of Milwaukee, 3 games back of New York, 2.5 games back of Philadelphia, 0.5 game back of Indiana, tied with Miami, but Miami holds the tiebreaker, so they are 7th. The Magic are 8th, 4 games up on Chicago, 6 games up on Atlanta, 24th in offensive rating, 5th in defensive rating, and 15th in net rating, Luke. Coming out of the All-Star break, the Magic's injury report should be clean. We'll have a better idea on that Wednesday. But unless something crazy happens, the Magic should be completely healthy and ready to go Thursday against Cleveland.
Completely healed. is what I think you mean there. Completely healed is what it feels like. I wanted to use this time real quick to just reflect on where we were last season at this time, as well as the last best start we had like this in an 82-game season. So the Magic, obviously, at this point are 30 and 25 going into the All-Star break, which is hilarious compared to last year's record, right? Last year at the All-Star break, Magic were 24 and 35. So 10 more losses at that point. And we know how the season ends. Like, the Magic are just a few wins away at this point from beating last year's win total. And then prior to that, this is the best record the Magic have had at the All-Star break that I could really find since like the 2010-2011, where they were like 36 and 21. So putting it in perspective for you guys, this we're in a great spot, as we all know. I hope that those of you who maybe have had your moments of like the sky is falling, which I very much have had at certain points of the season, where the sky is falling, the injury report is piling up, and you're frustrated. Hopefully this All-Star break has been a time for you to just like, just get back to even keel, realize that the Magic are in such a great position heading into this essentially playoff push with 27, is that what you said? 27 games left?
27.
I mean, you really couldn't ask for a much more realistic spot to be in for the Orlando Magic, for the rate that you're at, the way you're going, and what you're on pace for.
Speaking of playoff push, immediately following the All-Star game, TNT aired a basically like a playoff preview commercial, which featured none other than Jalen Suggs, you know, giving one of his patented, you know, hype ups to the Orlando Magic crowd. And that gave me goosebumps. First of all, they realized that the Magic are squarely in the playoff picture. And then to think about the Magic and Jalen Suggs in a playoff series, like ramping up the crowd at Kia, we know that moment is coming, and that's going to be incredibly fun. So just looking forward to that. And like you mentioned, Luke, best season up to this point, and probably, you know, what was that, 12, 13 years, mm-hmm. something like that, where the Magic have been sort of in this position, like in terms of record and standing coming out of the All-Star break, super exciting. And the last time that the Magic really were, obviously, you know, 2019, 2020, that whole season got messed up with COVID, right? And not that the Magic wouldn't have, you know, been in the playoffs in a full 82-game season, but the way that season ended, the Magic were just anticlimactic playoff run, is the way that I would put that. But when you look back to the 2018-2019 season, where the Magic were 20-31, and they go 22-9 over their last 31 games to finish the season 42-40. With 27 games left, Luke, the Magic could go 13-14 over these last 27 games and still have a better record than that 2018-2019 Magic team. And when you look at the schedule, which we'll talk a little bit more about in a moment here, the Magic should absolutely be able to go 13-14 at the very least. Like, we're looking, you know, you've talked about this. I think Philip Rossman Reich echoed your sentiment, although I'm sure it was his own, you know, individual opinion, obviously. But I heard you both say that like 46 wins is not out of the realm of possibility for this Magic team. Like, if you go, you know, 16-11 over these last 27 games, which is entirely possible, the Magic are sitting at 46 wins, and that will probably be good enough for seven or six in the Eastern Conference. So, just really excited for this team. Like, Paolo was coasting, you know, through this All-Star weekend, and that's fine. I don't care about that at all. I hope it's just due to the fact that he has bigger things in mind. He's like, get me out of this All-Star break. This is awesome. I love that I'm an All-Star. This is such an honor to be here. I'm literally living a childhood dream come true. But the Magic have bigger things in mind. The Magic have bigger goals in mind. And it starts next Thursday against Cleveland and these next 27 games, Luke. I would not be surprised if the Magic end up, you know, 16-10, you know, or like 18-8, you know, over the these next, you know, or what would that be? 18-9, sorry. Over the course of, or 16-11, I guess. I'm not good at math. I think the cold medicine is starting to take its effect here. But I would not be shocked if the Magic just go on an awesome run here over the next 27 games and find themselves as high as 5 or 6 in the Eastern Conference. They have everything that it takes to do it. They absolutely can do it. If we take a look, you know, just at the last couple of years and sort of the improvement that the Magic have made coming out of the All-Star break, like last year after the All-Star break, Luke, the Magic were not good offensively. They were 26th in the NBA in offensive rating. But after that All-Star break, Luke, they were 11th in defensive rating, which if we go to the pre-All-Star break last year, Magic were still 25th in offensive rating. Really nothing to write home about, but were 19th in defensive rating. If we go to the year before, Jamal Mosley's first season, before the All-Star break, the Magic were 28th in offensive rating. They were 24th in defensive rating. We go to after the All-Star break. Again, offense didn't take a big leap. They were still 29th in offensive rating, but were 7th in defensive rating. These Jamal Mosley teams, Luke, he just has a tendency of getting them to play their best basketball late into the year. And so far, we talked about it a few minutes ago, the Magic are 5th in defensive rating in the NBA this year. Are they going to take a massive leap? No. But we've talked about this really since the offseason, and once it seemed like everyone was going to be healthy. I genuinely believe that the Magic have the defensive personnel to be one of the top 2 or 3 defenses in the entire NBA. And if they can get to that level, if they can be the number 1 or number 2 or number 3 defense in the entire league over the course of the next 27 games, more often than not, they're going to be putting themselves in a position to win and going on like a 16-11, 17-10, 18-9 run to finish the season is totally possible when you look at this schedule. So this is where we'll go now, Luke. Thursday, you're at Cleveland, but then you're at Detroit, at Atlanta, home for Brooklyn, home for Utah, home for Detroit, at Charlotte, at Washington. After that first game against Cleveland, the Magic have 7 games in a row where I would say they should win those games. I don't care about the travel. I don't care about the back-to-backs. I care about the fact that the Magic are now, I believe, 15-6 against teams below 500 this season. And each of those 7 teams that I just listed are all below 500. After that game, you're at Detroit. You're home for Indiana. You're home for Brooklyn. You've got to get this one against Brooklyn. Both of these games against Brooklyn. Brooklyn is not better than Orlando, and Brooklyn has destroyed you in both meetings this year. Magic have to find a way to redeem themselves with those 2 games against Brooklyn. And then you're at Toronto, you're home for Toronto, you're home for Charlotte, you're home for New Orleans, Sacramento, Golden State, LA, Clippers. Then you're home for Memphis, home for Portland, at New Orleans, at Charlotte, home for Chicago, at Houston, at Philadelphia, home for Milwaukee. And when we get into that last week of the season, at Milwaukee, at Philadelphia, home for Milwaukee, those games very well may not matter for those teams in terms of standings, and we may see those teams rest their superstars. The more and more that I look at this, Luke, like 16-11 over the course of the next 27 games should really be the floor. I know this is a 500 team, you know, mostly around 500 this year, but we have history of Jamal Mosley teams playing better later into the year. It's time for this team to lock in. And if they can just figure a few things out offensively, Luke, and really dial it up defensively, this should be one of the best defenses in the league over the course of the last 27 games here.
Before the season, Jonathan, your prediction when we looked at the schedule was 43-39, I believe.
Correct.
If the Magic were to win 43 games this year, knowing what we know now and being where we are, that would mean that they went 13-14 to end the season. Would you be disappointed, given all the context, if the Magic finished the year 43-39?
Yes, I would.
I'm right there with you. I predicted 42-40. I mean, with mine, that'd be like them winning 12 of the last 27. Just not
acceptable.
No, and really context is important here, and the schedule is the context. The teams you're playing, the amount of games at home, I don't know that 16-11 is the absolute floor, but it's close. It's 16-11, it's 15-12. That's where, like, I would say maybe, yeah, 15-12. That feels good to me as far as a prediction too. But I really think that, yeah, you absolutely can win 46 games, which is crazy. Because what was it? You made a 12-game jump last year from the year before, win-wise. And then you go to 46 wins this year. I just, it would be awesome. I hope it happens. And you've got all the things going your way to make it happen. You played well enough to keep yourself afloat heading into the All-Star break. The 9-game win streak near the beginning of the season, kind of buoying yourself in that tough, tough stretch, December and through January. I'm really proud of this team. And I think that you absolutely can finish well above what we predicted before the season.
Luke, those last three games at Milwaukee were like starting with Wednesday, April 10th. So the 10th, the 12th, the 14th at Milwaukee, at Philadelphia, home for Milwaukee. What would you put the odds are that like those games may not matter for those teams?
I don't know.
50-50?
Maybe it's tough to know. Milwaukee, if they do what I predicted at the end of last episode, they're going to be scratching and clawing to try to get their way up the standings, because I said that they would essentially be passed by the Knicks for that third spot. Just by the way they're trending, Doc Rivers, all that kind of stuff, I don't know how that's going to end.
Is there any timetable on like Randall and Ananobi coming back yet?
I don't know. I feel like I heard something about after All-Star break for like Dante DiVincenzo and stuff like that. But I don't know what the timetable. OG might have fallen in that category, but I'm really not sure.
Yeah, OG had surgery about 10 days ago, and he's going to be reevaluated in 3 weeks to remove a loose bone fragment from his elbow. So that sounds like a guy that they're probably still not going to have back for a few weeks. And then Julius Randle, he's supposed to be reevaluated about this time. So we're going to know more about his status. You know, to me, like, sure, it's awesome for them to get like Dante and like Isaiah Hartenstein back. But moving forward without OG and Julius Randle, I think it's going to be really tough for them to be, they'll be competitive, obviously. But I would expect them to hover around like 500 without those guys in the lineup.
And I am looking at the Bucks, for instance. Last year they went 58-24. I don't know context, so don't hold me to this. But if you're asking me if it's possible that they're in a position, and some of these teams that were playing near the end are in the position of resting guys. Last year, final game of the year, Bucks were starting Beauchamp and like Giannis nowhere in sight, right? And I think that there's definitely a possibility, but
all right,
I have no idea.
This combo has gone just off the rails for what I intended. I did think I was going to get a little bit quicker of an answer. The reason that I bring that up is because outside of those three games, Luke, even if you include those games, 16 of our last 27 games are against teams that are below 500 or out of the playoff picture as it currently is. I don't think there is a team that's outside of the playoff picture that is above 500. So we could just say most of these teams are either, they're either out of the playoff picture or they're below 500, because Atlanta is technically in the playoff picture, but they're below 500. You take away those last three games where it may not matter. then it's 8 of the last 27 games. If those last three games aren't really consequential, because like Milwaukee may not be worried if the Knicks and like the Philadelphia 76ers just fall apart, which if they don't get guys back in a hurry, it looks like Philadelphia is going to continue to slide, you know, in the Eastern Conference without Joel for sure. But Milwaukee, like, who knows? It might not really matter. But we're talking about 27. So we're talking about, like, yeah, 16 of your last 27 games are coming against teams that are below 500. And this year, you have been, I think it was 15-6. Yeah, even better, 16-5 against teams that are below 500. So for me, you know, you're going to win a couple, you know, of those games against teams that are above 500. But if the Magic have another level to get to in these last 27 games, like, that's why I feel like 16-11 should be the floor. Like, it really should be. Like, if this team doesn't get to, you know, 45 or 46 wins at this point, I'm going to be a bit surprised, barring Orlando Magic luck happening, which is bad luck.
With the win percentage factored in against teams for the Magic this year that they play again, that are teams under 500, the Magic should go, with 16 of these games being against below 500 teams, the Magic should go 12-4 based on how they performed against them throughout the season so far. So you go 12-4, you can find a few more games against over 500 teams in that stretch, the other 9 games or 11 games you're going to play. So, yeah, man, yeah, 46 wins is super, super realistic.
So 12-4 in that, you have 11. So you would have to go, what, 4-7 against teams above 500? Like, that, to me, that seems like the floor.
Yeah, I would agree.
All right, Luke. I mean, that's really what we're looking at here. It's important that the Magic get off to a good start here, coming out of the All-Star break. The guys have a few more days of rest, and then we'll be back into it this Thursday against Magic versus the Cavs. I think that's going to do it for this one, this All-Star break edition of the Six Man Show.
Do we want to do week ahead today or on Wednesday?
Let's do a Wednesday. Do a Wednesday. We'll see. We'll see how we feel. Hopefully, by then we'll have the injury report, so we'll have a better idea. It should be clean, but yeah, let's wait till Wednesday. Don't forget Wednesday. Starting at 9:00 Eastern, we'll be live on YouTube. That's going to be the 5-year anniversary edition of the show. I have a special guest on that, so be sure to check in on that. The next episode of the Six Fan Show is going to be filmed next Tuesday at home as the Magic take on the Brooklyn Nets. Definitely need to get that win. But that's going to do it for this episode. For Luke Sylvia, this has been Jonathan Osborne. You all have been listening to the Six Man Show, and we will catch you guys next time. See ya.
Thanks for listening to The Sixth Man Show. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and Spotify to get new episodes downloaded directly to your phone. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to give us a 5-star rating and a review. It helps out the show a lot. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Sixth Man Show. We'll catch you guys next time. Go Magic!